Yes, this hymn writer also says, whatever may come, whether tribulation or whatever, he will trust in the Lord and put his hope in him. And we too want to put our hope in him, because we know he can lead and guide everything marvelously. And he knows how to lead and guide everything. And you know, not only that, but in the time when we are still here on earth, we want to keep it as it is written here in Isaiah 61 from verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Up to here, this marvelous and wonderful word of God. And I would like to say or ask, does the Lord not do what we are told here in verse 11? Does he not cause his righteousness to spring up among the nations? Oh, brothers and sisters, we see God does not fail to fulfill what he has promised. He certainly keeps it, and he also fulfills it. We as believers can observe this too closely and perceive very precisely that all the words of promise, whether they are in the Old or New Testament, they find their fulfillment in the days for which they were spoken. And we see, especially in our day, so many things are being fulfilled. But I would like to say, only those to whom the Lord has given enlightened eyes can see them. Brothers and sisters, we do not want to exalt ourselves and think we are who knows how big, but we as children of God can only praise the grace of God and say, he has given us eyeself. He has opened our hearing. He has opened our understanding so that we can receive and that we can then call aloud with joy. As it is written here, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Oh, isn't that something marvelous? Brothers and sisters, there is nothing else left for us. And we don't want anything else either. We can only rejoice for all that the Lord has given. You know, when a child receives something, it is happy to receive something new again. But the Lord has given us something new. Oh, how should we not be happy about it? He has made known to us what has remained hidden to many throughout the ages. But he has chosen and appointed us so that he could reveal his glory to us and bring to light the things still hidden. Oh, to the Lord be the glory. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Has he done it? He has done it. He has clothed us in garments of salvation. Isn't that marvelous? Can we not give thanks for such a marvelous garment that he has put on us? Oh yes, I already said that a child, when it receives something, is happy to receive something new. How could we not rejoice? How can we not give thanks? How can we not worship? We have to do it. There is nothing left for us to do. Let us stand up now and let us worship together. Heavenly Father, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Even in this afternoon hour, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us garments of salvation. Lord, we want to cheer you. We want to praise your wonderful and holy name aloud. For your name is above all names. In this name is all salvation. O Lord, when we consider what you have done and are still doing for us, O Lord, this morning too, you have spoken to us in a marvelous way. Oh, we thank you from the depths of our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord, what shall we say to you? Come to our aid, even in this afternoon, our Lord. Bless my brother here, O God, and bless us, O Lord, who sit and hear, O God, that we listen properly, Lord, and love your word, O God. Glory to your name. Lord, to you alone be the praise and the worship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Here you go, Brother Frank. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I didn't expect it so soon. You know how it is. A day's work is not as difficult as preaching a sermon. If you read it out and have a finished manuscript, then it may still go quite well. But if you are aware of your responsibility before God and know that you will be held accountable for every sermon, for every service on that day, then things look very different. Sometimes people don't realize the tension that those who have taken responsibility before God are in. And so, I am not asking for pity, but for understanding. It is not an easy thing to preach the word of the Lord at this time. It may be easy to preach a sermon on some topic and talk about it, but to pass on God's revealed word as the Lord has spoken it is a great responsibility. I wrote it to a brother recently and told others, many things have a beginning and will have an end, but the love of God never ends. It has no beginning and it has no end. And if I may add here, it says that God is gracious and that God is merciful, but nowhere does it say that God is grace or that he is mercy, but it is written, God is love. And he who abides in God abides in love. because he has received the grace and mercy of God. And when Brother Rus emphasized the thought that God has given us many new things by grace, the scripture came to my heart that God wants to give us a new heart and a new spirit. What good is everything new if we have not received a new heart, a new spirit, a new life from God? Then we will fill the old garment with new pieces, and then we will be beautifully decorated. But as we have heard, God has given us garments of salvation. Full salvation teaches our Bible, so sings a hymn writer, to be half redeemed is from the evil one. It is not enough for the soul. Full salvation is what our Bible teaches. That is what God promises, as the song goes. And we know that God always keeps His promises. And beloved, we do not want to have to answer for people to whom we have preached and who have not been saved. We want to preach the word in such a way that all those who sit under the sound of the word have the real opportunity and possibility to experience God, and whom we will see again in eternity. I am not interested in speaking to thousands on earth and not finding 10 there. I would rather speak to 100 and see all 100 there again before the throne of God. And that is our endeavor. And so we just want God to bless us, to be with us. You can believe me. I come here just like you and say, "My God, what shall I bring? What word do you want me to read? What do you have to say to us?" I don't come here with a finished program, but once again, my eyes fell on the word in the prophet Isaiah 61. It says in verse 6, "But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God." God already made this promise in the Old Testament. And then it says in verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." Do you remember Mary's praise when the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You have found favor with God. Blessed art thou who you believed." And then she said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What was it? She had heard the promise, believed it, and there was an echo in her, and she expressed it in her worship. It is the same for all who believe the word of God at this time. Oh, blessed is she that believed. May it be done unto you as it was announced. And then it was no longer difficult for her to bring this praise over her lips. The same should also be the case with us. Now Brother Rus has also quoted a scripture that I just read here without having read it. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him."
seiner selbst verleihen und euren Herzen
the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Well, first this one thought, that Christ wants to give us enlightened eyes of the heart, so that we can recognize what it is about in the kingdom of God at this time. And to this let us read from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 4. Here it says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There were times when God kept hidden until the fulfillment came for what he had promised. The way he spoke was through the prophets. Then in the New Testament, he had apostles to whom he could show that the things that had been prophesied and spoken through the prophets had been fulfilled. And so the apostles of the New Testament repeatedly put the fulfillment of the word of prophecy from the Old Testament on the lampstand again and again. And even our Lord Jesus is the best example of this, when he exclaimed and pronounced in Luke 24, let me read it, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Our Lord pointed out that everything that God had written through the prophets in the Psalms, what was written in the books of Moses, that is, what was said in the entire Old Testament, had to be fulfilled. All is fulfilled in the period of the New Testament. And I want to show you the marvelous harmony of the men of God now from the Holy Scriptures. And we will recognize that it was not a Paul who coordinated and agreed with Peter, but it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through both of them in order to find complete divine conformity. In the kingdom of God, things are not coordinated first. In the kingdom of God, things are right from the start. Only we have to let ourselves be aligned with it. I read from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 9, and to make all men see What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ? Mark this word, the mystery which from the beginning of the world, from the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That which has been hidden in God from the beginning, to make known this mighty mystery. Let us read to this from the book of Acts, chapter 3, and we'll find exactly the same word, beginning. Acts chapter 3, from verse 21, said and written with reference to Jesus our Lord, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. God had his servants and his prophets. He wanted to reveal his counsel to his people from the beginning, and has spoken through his prophets. And it is still written in Amos 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And when we read the last two verses in the Old Testament, most people overlook this. They only read this one verse, which refers to the prophet who was to come. But in verse 22 it says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The law of Moses was brought into connection with the sending of this prophet. And there are people who take offense at the fact that the prophet of God took so many passages from the Old Testament. If he had not done so, he would not have been a prophet at all. A prophet must go back to the word of prophecy. This is his task. That is his ministry. And we must understand all this once and for all. We cannot simply say, we are living in the New Testament. I believe that with all my heart. That is 100% truth. But why do we live in the New Testament? Because we have the Old Testament and see the fulfillment of the Old in the New. And these are like two great wings with which we can soar, namely the Old and the New Testament, the promises and their fulfillment. And so our Lord also said that everything that was written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and the prophets had to be fulfilled. Paul wanted to introduce the church to the mystery of God, and he did it as far as he was instructed for his time. And we must all admit today, when we read 1 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4 and various other scriptures, that Paul is saying, the Spirit speaketh expressly what will happen in the latter times. But he didn't live to see the last days, but expressed by the Spirit what would be in the last days. And sometimes, when we talk about the fact that God used Brother Branham in a special way, and that a part of God's plan of salvation was introduced and continued with it, the scribes come and simply say, his name should be written in the Bible. Beloved, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life anyway. But I ask you today, was Peter's name written? Was the name of Paul written? Was even John the Baptist's name written? No, it only said, a man sent from God. It was someone who had to come to prepare the way for the Lord. What his name would be was not the point. It was about the ministry he had to perform. And the moment a divine ministry was carried out, his name entered the divine plan of salvation. And that is exactly how it is at this time. It was not even written at that time that he was to baptize. People could have come to him and asked, listen, how do you legitimize yourself? What is your answer? God had given the answer. He knew his commission. He had no discussions. He went to the Jordan and preached. And God brought the people who were to hear. And one day he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And he said, the friend of the bridegroom hears the rejoicing of the bride. And he says, this my joy is now fulfilled. John had to build the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament in order to introduce the Messiah, the Savior. And then there are those who say at this time, why was Brother Branham taken prematurely before the Lord Jesus returns? I ask you, why was John the Baptist beheaded before Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary? When his task was fulfilled, he was allowed to go. He was allowed to go because his ministry was finished. And when some of his disciples still could not believe that Christ was the Messiah, he sent them to him and told them, ask him whether he is or is not. John believed with all his heart. He saw the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. He bore witness before God and man. But his disciples clung to him. They struggled to follow Christ. And then he sent them to him. And they got the right answer. Beloved, let me say it today. We are not following a John or a Paul or a Brother Branham. We are following Jesus Christ, our Lord. These men of God have shown us the way to God, and we have recognized Christ, and we want to experience the power of His resurrection again and again. There were disciples of John at that time, and they then became disciples of Jesus Christ. At this time, people find it a little difficult to change their thinking, and there are so many disciples, but so few disciples of Jesus Christ. Let us understand and accept this lesson and know what God's purpose is and what He has done by grace. We do not follow a religious founder, but the Lord who has redeemed us. And we place biblically the ministries God has given and rejoice that God has not forgotten us, but has placed His prophetic word upon the lampstand, shining like a bright light in a dark place. Beloved, this weekend has been such a strengthening, such a blessing for me. I have been able to draw on the words of God as rarely before. It was a living, an effective, a strong, a powerful word of God that came to us. And anyone who does not feel that God is speaking to us needs to be renewed in their heart. They need to experience God. Beloved, the word of the Lord is not addressed to the chairs on which we sit, but to our hearts, which should receive it. And I believe we have done so. Perhaps the things that are yet to come will be fulfilled in haste, and we must seize every opportunity we have and build up and exhort one another and stand together as one man, as one heart and one soul. And you will see that if we all stand united in our ranks, member to member, then we can face the enemy. We realize quite clearly that people, I think Brother Rus mentioned the world politics earlier, but there are people who have different opinions, but when it comes to the enemy, they are of one mind. And the Holy Scripture says in Philippians, if any of you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. No one needs to waste time on this, let alone argue, but we may go forward with our Lord, and we must stand together in these last days if we want to survive. The people of God have only one chance of survival, and that is to know that we are united with God and march forward under one head, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord, and that everyone fulfills the task that God has given them. One need not step on the toes of the other, and one need not to do the task of the other. And yet, there is enough room for all of us to work together in the kingdom of God until the Lord comes. But let us be told one thing. Those whom God sends speak the words of God, and all who are of God hear the word of God. And this is what we need at this time. The things that are yet to come will be fulfilled by God in His time. Interpretations on our part do not bring divine fulfillment any closer. On the contrary, they may stand in our way. God will fulfill His plan of salvation. Our faith is firmly anchored in this once and for all. There is nothing and no one that can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither high nor low, present nor things to come. The love of God is so deeply rooted in our hearts. And what God has done, we carry as the most precious treasure we may have here on earth. My prayer and desire is that all who hear the revealed word at this time will realize that God is coming to meet them with it. Heaven will be filled. Don't worry. There won't be an empty chair, but it is you who have been invited. It is you who are to come. It is you that God is talking to now. And the question is, what answer will we give Him? Others try to be saved and enter glory in their own way. We can only do it in the way that God has promised us in His Word. And we are prepared to do this because there is no other way. There is only one way, only one truth, only one life. It is only Him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection, and so on. May the Lord, as the exalted head of the church, draw all His members to Himself and bless us with the blessing of Almighty God that has come to the church through the cross. Christ had to endure the cross and die so that we can live and be blessed. He was cursed. Our sin and iniquity was laid on Him, that we might have peace, and by His stripes we are healed. Beloved, today no one should remain silent. Today we should all get a loosed tongue, like Zacharias did when he saw the promise fulfilled and John was born as the forerunner. Suddenly he could speak again because the promise had been fulfilled. People who are present when God's word of promise is fulfilled, their tongues are loosed and they can praise and glorify God and offer Him worship. And I believe we should take a little time today to do this and thank the Lord with one voice from the bottom of our hearts and lay all His work at His feet, asking Him to be merciful to us and to everyone, and that He will soon turn and change everything in us, around us, through us, and that God will come into His own. I have only just indicated this morning that we believe in election and predestination, but we do not believe that the devil has a right or authority to play football with believers. We don't believe that the enemy has the right to lay his hand on the inheritance of the saints. We believe that God has ordained us to enter the spiritual battle and to go forward in faith and trust the Lord. And you will see Satan is a defeated enemy. The Lord has dealt with him personally. He has overcome him. He has conquered him. Now faith must come to us through preaching, and then faith will become our victory, which has already overcome the world. 1 John 5, you all know the scripture. Faith is the victory that has overcome the world. What is the point of preaching at all? That everything remains the same, or that God works faith in us through His Word, and to reveal the impact of His Spirit, His Word, and His blood in our midst. Beloved, today we want to trust the Lord in an unprecedented way, and you will see the greater our trust in God, the more He will be able to do. If we come timidly and not in faith, then we will receive nothing. But if we believe that He is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him, as written in Hebrews, then He will reward us richly today. Can you believe this? Can you believe that God answers prayers? Can you believe that the power of Satan has been defeated, and that we have become victors by grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Then let us give glory to our God together. Let us stand up, and I mean, let us come to the front today. Let us come to the front to thank the Lord here together. And not one of us should stay behind. We come to the front in faith, and we will not only pray and plead, we will thank God that He has already heard us. We will take Him at His word and know that He will do the things He has promised. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Let us pray now. We come not only with ourselves and with what moves us, but with your entire work, with your blood-bought flock, with your people throughout the earth. O God, give a signal by which all the world would recognize that it is you who speaks and who works and who answers, who confirms the word of his servants and realizes the counsel proclaimed by his prophets. Lord, as the prophet Habakkuk said, though the vision tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Hallelujah. My God, we are here because you have spoken to us, and therefore we dare to speak to you, and we come under the covering of the blood of the Lamb to your throne of grace, and thank you for this weekend. Bless all who will listen to these tapes. O God, when we consider our misery and our weakness, your greatness and your omnipotence become ever more precious to us. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to you. For when we are weak, you can be strong. And when we are nothing, you can be all in all and through all. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, my God. I feel your direct presence in these moments in our midst. Hallelujah. You transform our lives, our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our walks, our whole being is transformed in your presence. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to your name. Lord, on the journey before me, I lay before you India, Ceylon, the Philippines, Singapore, Lord, all of Asia, all of Africa, the North American continent, the South American continent, all of Europe, China, Russia, Japan, all peoples, my God, you are the God of all flesh. Have mercy, speak and intervene for the praise and glory of your name. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God.